I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Okay, 15 minutes are on the timer, and the subject is first jobs. Do you remember what your first job was, Flav?
Yes, Woolworths. It was 1996. It was about a month before I got my national insurance card, and my mum had drilled into me from a very young age that I work. If I want money, I work for it. And quite thankful for that, because I've never not had a job or never not had a stable income. Throughout my entire life, I've always been employed. I've got a funny story about how I left Woolworths, which I'll come on to. But Woolworths, when I was 15, I was paid £2.67 an hour, which was below minimum wage, but I wasn't of the legal working age. I was coming into the legal working age, so they really stuck it to you. £2.67 an hour it was.
Yeah, so mine was at B&Q. And I got paid a lot more. The reason I worked at B&Q was because it was the best payer of all the like retail jobs in the area. And basically what that meant was all the kids in my year at school wanted to work there. So it was quite they had to actually turn people down because they were getting so many people applying for jobs. So I got chosen. I was one of the chosen few and I loved it. I loved work at B&Q. There's so many good stories. But I want to hear about Woolworths. What did you do for them?
Firstly, I was just a sales assistant, so I'd literally just stand on the till and scan stuff that people wanted. And then if they let me off the till, then I was allowed to stock shelves or bring goods down from the warehouse. Eventually, I worked my way up to the record desk. That was the dream job in Woolworths. It was the record desk where you dealt with only entertainment and lottery tickets. Those were all you had to worry about. And it was more interesting. And not more interesting because it was movies and CDs and stuff. No, it's because it added the extra element of having to turn around and find the CD to put it in the case before selling it. And that extra element engaged the brain in a new way, where it meant that for 4 hours of sitting on the till, it was a slight variant to your work, which was good. And then I worked my way up to designated sales assistant, which is someone who can do refunds and exchanges. And you get to have a different badge. Now, the thing about the badges, Wendy, right, is that Woolworths, the manager couldn't be bothered to make up the badges for everybody. So they had to send the names to Woolworths HQ. They would send the badges back. It was a very convoluted way of doing it. But they were special badges because the name was sort of embossed or engraved on this sort of plastic and chrome badge. So, but everyone had to have a badge. It wasn't acceptable to go down without a badge. So what they asked, what they decided to do is just take any badge. It doesn't matter. Now, the Woolworths I worked in was multicultural. Right? There were people from all ethnicities with all kinds of names. I had two name badges, and this is not a lie. I guarantee you I did. I had two name badges, and they were these two names. Mohammed. and Babu. I would wear Babu, right? Because I'm definitely not a Mohammed. So I'd wear Babu, and people would go, "That's a really strange name." I was like, "Yeah, is it Swedish?" And I was like, "Yeah." Fuck it. And the thing is, there was already a Babu there, and he was walking around with the name Babu.
Why were there two Babu badges?
Because they sent off for him because he was sort of senior. He was a senior sales assistant, so he needed his own badge. And I think that the previous regime actually got the badges sorted. But when I was there, I was with a guy called Bob, who really didn't give a shit. Ginormous man. He didn't care. So there were two Babus on the floor. One was very white, Caucasian, Englishman from North London. And the other one was Sri Lankan.
Wow.
He was a nice guy. So yeah, that was really.
Should I tell you about my experience at B&Q?
Definitely.
B&Q.
Please.
So B&Q was it was almost like two different places of work for me, because I used to do a Thursday night 5 until 8, and then I would do Saturdays all day. And a bit of Sunday as well. But the Thursday night meant you were working with the weekday crew. So these were people who worked at B&Q full time. That was their job. That was their 9-to-5. That was their bread and butter. And then at the weekend, completely different set of staff. So this was like the people in my year at school, people from local schools. Everyone was like under 18. Lots of silly banter and stuff. But the Thursday evening was when you kind of got to ingratiate yourself a little bit. So I had Sue and Maureen, who were kind of my mentors. Sue and Maureen trained me on how to use the tills. Till one was the customer service till, where, like you say, you could do refunds and exchanges. And if you got to be on till one, you felt like the bee's knees. That was big dog territory. So I wasn't often on till one. I'd like to go on till two, because that would be backing on to Sue, who was normally on till one. And she was great fun. Then at the weekend, it was carnage. So basically, everyone would try and avoid being on the till because there were much more fun things to be doing. So, for example, if you were working in the garden centre out the back, which was great, you got to water the plants, massive bonus. But you also regularly had to carry compost bags to people's cars for them. And what that meant is it opened up the possibility of getting tips. So you'd linger around the compost and wait for a sweet old lady to come along and say, "Oh, do you need any help with your shopping there?" And before you knew it, she was handing you a fiver for putting the compost in the back of her car. But I got internally promoted in B&Q to working in the cash office, which was
wow,
an upgrade. Let's put it that way. So I loved working in the cash office because I'd be handling bundles of £1,000 of £20 notes at a time, and I'd be able to listen to the football on Saturday afternoon. I'd be listening to my radio in the cash office. It was great.
I got called into the cash office once to be sacked. Yeah, there was a problem with thieving in Woolworths, right? And I got caught up in it. And I tell you how, I was starving. It was a late night stock take. It was about 9 o'clock, and I was so hungry. And they were just like, it was a mess. The stock room was an absolute mess. And the confectionery aisle, there was just chocolate everywhere. They're all over the place. And I was like, I'm starving. Woolworths is not going to miss one Twix. No one's going to see this. I'll feel nourished. I can work harder. I'm going to eat the Twix. So I eat the Twix. Think nothing of it. The next week, I get called into the cash office, and the manager went, "All right, we believe that you've been taking Woolworths property and essentially stealing." I can't remember what their terminology was. And I went, "Well, of course I haven't." I went, "Well, we've got it on CCTV. We've got evidence." And I went, "No, you ain't." And I went, because it just got to that point with denial. I went, "All right, just play the tape." Played the tape, and I watched this grainy image of me looking down, picking up a Twix. I think it was literally off the floor, eating it. And I was like, all right, fine. For, what happens now? Well, you're going to be sacked, aren't you? I was like, okay, good. That was that. But other people got sacked for loads of stuff. Some people even got arrested. Like, they were nicking pagers and phones and all kinds of stuff. I just ate out of Twix. So I think they let me off lightly. But, yeah. So that was... those were my Woolworths days, really. The better ones were... I went to work in Mothercare the next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm not sure. Can we talk about next jobs or
go for it.
Well, Mothercare, I moved to Mothercare because of the exact same reason as you. They paid the best. They were in Marble Arch, so it got paid about £5.35 an hour, something like that, which was really good for the time because I've been used to such a low wage at Woolworths. But they obviously knew about the firing for the Nick and the Twix, so I had to explain in my interview how this had happened and stuff. And inevitably, they gave me a second chance. They didn't care, did they? They didn't care. What's he going to nick from Mothercare? And literally, there's nothing. There's nothing you can nick from Mothercare unless you're after selling prams on the side hustle. But you just mentioned about tips. Because it's Marble Arch, a massive it's like the flagship Mothercare store in the UK. You get a lot of Arab, rich Arab wives and Arab husbands. And when they would just snatch up stuff at that and they'd end up with a pile... The size of a giant man, like giant haystack style pile of boxes and stuff and prams. And obviously they couldn't manage it, so you'd have to carry it down. But the great thing about the Arabs were that they would give ginormous tips, talking like 50 quids sometimes, 100. The money just was nothing to them. They had so much, it just meant nothing. It was just a device to get people to do what they needed them to do, which was fine. But the problem is our boss had set up a camera at the area where they would come and load up their cars, and it was against the rules, against customer policy, for you to take any kind of gratitude or tip. But obviously, it was a lot of money. But there was one time where, because I didn't want to lose another job. If you lose two jobs in retail by being sacked for doing the wrong thing, your career's over, right? So I didn't do it. And the woman, I remember once being chased around a car by a woman in a burqa and a jilbab, literally her trying to put money in my hand, and I'm actually running away, running around a massive SUV that she had. Yeah, that was good. I left that job. But it was a good year. I grew up a lot in that year. There were a lot of girls.
You talking about shoplifting brought back a memory we used to have at B&Q.
I wasn't shoplifting.
I mean, technically you were, but we could spend a long time debating that. We've only got 15 minutes.
Okay.
It brought back a memory of the codes at B&Q that we used when there was a suspected thief in store or a shoplifter. So we had a code 150, which was a suspected thief. So it would be my favourite thing ever if on a Saturday I was on the shop floor, so I was just like helping customers, answering queries, that kind of thing. And over the public address system comes, this is a staff announcement, code 150 in aisle 33 or whatever. I would go into full detective mode. I'd be down that aisle. I'd be like...
I can imagine this.
Firstly, I was just having a little peek around the corner. Little peek to see who's down there, see who the suspected thief was. And then I'd find a reason to be in there. I'd want to know... I'd like find the product that lives in that aisle and have an excuse to go and put it back on the shelf, that kind of thing, so I could gather evidence. And then when things got really extreme, it was... This is a staff announcement, code 100. Now, code 100 meant if you are on the shop floor and you're not with a customer, you run to the front of the store and you attempt to stop someone getting out with goods. So I remember one time The code 100 was called, and I was upstairs in the staff canteen having my lunch break, and I thought, I'm not missing this for the world. So I ran downstairs, and there was this guy called Sonny who was probably about 6'4" and just as wide. And I got to the front of the store, and he was stood behind the tills with this lady, literally in his arms. She had one breast hanging out. He'd somehow, in trying to stop her leaving, like, she'd got herself into such a sort of state that she'd somehow fallen out of her clothes. She had a breast hanging out, and he had in his other hand a lawnmower. Like, he was just holding in one hand the lawnmower. And she was just trying to make a run for it with a lawnmower. It was incredible. But I lived amazing for those moments. I was so excited. The adrenaline.
Well, yeah. And the thing is that the customers or the shoplifters, they think, oh, you're a busybody. What's it got to do with you? Like, you know how much money B&Q makes?
Yeah, exactly. It's not
makes.
My money.
But the thing is, it isn't your money, but the job is so boring that this is, you live and
exactly
die for these moments.
Exactly.
Just to give you some relief. I'll tell you my one. We had a shoplifter. No, someone nicked a woman's bag, right? It was full of our Christmas money. It was around Christmas time. And I saw it from the other side, and I don't know what I was thinking, but I felt like I was some sort of, like, it was like, I don't know, some sort of detective or bodyguard. And I ran. Bear in mind, I was very frail, very feminine-looking young boy. And I leaped over the record desk and chased this kid down the road to get this money back. And I got it. He dropped the bag, and he carried on running, and I returned to the store with her
like
money.
Hero.
Like a god, mate. Not a hero, a god. It was a wonderful moment. God knows what would have happened if he would have turned around and stopped and going, right, well, you can take it. No, not at all, mate. So, there was a lot of good men. I have so many. I've got so many stories about
work. I've got to squeeze in one more. So I was serving this builder once. We used to get a lot of builders coming in, as you'd imagine, building supplies in B&Q. And I said, can I help you, sir? And he looked at me with this, like, cheeky expression in his face and went, sir, sir, no one calls me sir. They normally call me cunt. And there was this little old couple behind him, just didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to handle the situation. I went bright red. It was, it was so funny. So many good memories of B&Q. I love that place.
Yeah, I can't say that I didn't enjoy working there.
Our 15 minutes are up.
I hate that buzzer. All right, that was good. What else we got? You want to do one more?